Further ado, we're going to turn the remainder of this service to Brother Bill Ladra. He's going to come and take his liberty in the Lord today.
Thank you, Pastor. I want to just take a moment here and give thanks to the Lord for everybody here, for Freeman and I's safe travels as we have just sought his will in our lives. May he get all the glory, and you all be blessed as much as we've been blessed so far being here. I want to take a moment here. I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning, about knowing God, about knowing him. There's a Hebrew idiom, yada, yada, yada. It's a real biblical word. To know him, to intimately understand this very God who created you. One of the great things about the Christian faith is it's not a blind faith. We're not going around trying to figure out what it is that we are to do. It's one of revelation, one of rationalization. It's a rational faith, tangible. It's experienced reality for those who are in it. I love that about our walk with our Lord. It allows us to actually get a hold of what has been lacking in us from birth, namely a relationship with our Creator. And as we allow Him to become part of us, it's knowing that restorative attribute of our God, how He wants to bring us back to Him, that love that is so undeniably pure. And it gets us deep into our hearts. And so for me, it really doesn't take long as I meditate on what God has done in my life, namely in the salvation process, that point in time. And I hope you all have that in your hearts today. Remember that sweet point in time? Maybe a little bit longer for some of you, a little process. But that time where the Lord became your Savior and your God. And I quite get overwhelmed. It doesn't take me long as I meditate on that. I get overwhelmed in that truth, but it's in a good way. In a good way. So I want to open in prayer as we get to maybe see His Word and know Him a little better today. Bow our heads. Father God, I thank You for this wonderful understanding of You, that revelation that's called the Word, the understanding that the Bible is given to us in purity, and we can understand You more. Open our hearts. Let our eyes see afresh today. Let our understandings and hearing be true and right. So Spirit, have Your way. Inhabit this time of praise and worship that we call proclamation. To You be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, get a hold of your Bibles here. We're going to open up to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Peter. And I got Robbie. I might get Robbie all confused there. 2 Peter chapter 1. And a little back, I don't like to just rip the Bible open and start getting into some scriptures that we don't maybe know what's going on. Peter, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that denied Him three times, was restored by God Himself, is writing to this wonderful church that he is so much of a leader in. And we find out in that first, we're going to get to verse 2, but I want to start in verses 1 there, that he said, to those who have obtained like precious faith. He states his audience immediately. He understands that in verse 1, he wants to talk to believers, those of like precious faith. And this beautiful understanding that Peter has given us, it actually understands what truth he's trying to give is to those who can hear. Hearing by the Holy Spirit. And so I guess this is going to be a good place for the gospel. Because in no way do I assume anyone who sits in church is automatically considered a Christian. Keith Green, a joy in my life as I've been ministered by his ministry, he's long with the Lord now, said, just because you're in McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. And just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. But I got good news, it doesn't matter. Because today we can respond to the gospel. And this is the gospel. First, there's a God. There's a God. He created this world and He created you in His image. And this God gave us His Word as a revelation of who He is. And the Bible is clear. it is clear that by faith through grace we have been saved, not of works. Some of us here may be struggling, how do I get to this, God, because you figured that part out. And you work, and you work, and you do good, but you're getting tired. See, that whole faith thing doesn't get to being working and tiring of what we got to do. Because you understand there's something wrong with you, you work, but yet that problem called sin, revealed in the Word, you apply it to as it is seen fit in your life today. And if you understand there's a God and there's sin, that means you've been broken. That relationship between you and God has been broken. You were born this way. We're broken. We don't work right. But God is so good. See, I got to give you the bad news to understand the good. I know it's somewhat bad, but there's good news here. You see, God sent His Son, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the faithful one who always was, who spoke and the worlds were made. And He sent Him to die on a cross. He lived the perfect life that we cannot live, to give us the perfect atonement for that sin that we so carry with us. And as He died on that cross, He took that sin, the sin of the world. The Bible says He became sin who knew no sin. And if you've repented of your sin and you turned to Him by faith, and embrace that work on that cross, the Bible says you can be saved. Confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. That's the gospel. That's who this letter is given to. And if you've done that, listen up. If you haven't done that, you could do that right now. You could bow your head right now and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I repent of my sin, and I turn to you by faith. Do it right now, because then we can listen on. So, as we understand 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, his audience are those of like precious faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And Peter is telling us a little something in this letter, a little overview really quickly as I come back. I want you to look, follow me here. Verse 2, God and peace be multiplied to you, in the knowledge of God. Verse 3, at the end, knowledge of Him. Verse 5. Knowledge. Add to knowledge, verse 6, self-control. Verse 8, knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, follow me along. Know. Verse 14, knowing. Verse 16, known. Verse 20, I think Peter wants us to know something. He's getting our attention. He wants us to understand what the words he's about to say. I want to know something. What, Peter? What do you want us to know? Well, that word knowledge is making us pay attention. And I want us to get, jot this point down as we open up our scriptures here. I think I have one. It was right here. Thank you, Lynn. She knows my mouth gets a little dry. I'm sorry. And as that first verses open up, verse 2, I'm just going to read this. We'll open up. Jot this verse, thought down. You can only have power by knowing the source. You can only have power by knowing the source. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That understanding, most of us, when we understand driving cars, let's get this illustration in. Driving a car, we know how to start the car. We know how to put the gas pedal down. We know how to get it into gear. But if we have that, say, 200 horsepower on that hood, if we don't know what that gas tank is for, if we don't know that gasoline goes in there, the power of that car goes away really quick. You only go so far if you don't know where the power comes from. And that's Peter's whole point here. So you start that car, fill up that gas and go. In the same way it's with God. You can do all the right things. You can look all the right part. Say all the right understandings of Christianese. But yet you don't know your God. And Lord, help us with that. If you don't know Him, grace eludes you and peace hides from you. And I don't like that feeling. Peter's encouraging us to get out of the starting blocks of the race of the faith and get into the faith sprint. He wants us to get some action here. And how do we do that, Peter? Verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, who called us by glory and virtue. Underline that in your Bible. Divine power. That divine power is speaking of the resurrection. Paul was clear that if the resurrection had never happened, that cross means nothing. The resurrection's the power. That painting, Pastor pointed that out to me when we visited yesterday. Beautiful painting. That glorious day that he emerged from that tomb. That's the power that understood the cross was for real. It was the proof. You see, we don't serve a dead Savior. Let me say that again. I want to get all of you. We don't serve a dead Savior. You know that Buddha, that Krishna, that Muhammad, all dead in the grave. They're standing before our risen Savior right now. Jesus is alive. A bodily resurrection. Not just him in spirit. A body came out of that grave. And God is good. And that is available to you, it says in that verse, through grace and virtue. What does that mean, Bill? Well, John 1:14, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is this? This is Jesus. He is the glory of God. He is the manifestation of God, the invisible Holy One. And we get to see him. Virtue is his precious, perfect life we couldn't live. And that's how we attain to the understanding of divine power. It's through Jesus. We partake in the divine nature. And in verse 4 it tells us, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now understanding the promises is key here, loved ones. Those promises are called exceedingly great and precious. You see, if I give you a promise, if I said to Pastor I was going to be here at 9 o'clock, 9:30, whatever that was, that's not an exceedingly great and precious promise. It's just a promise. I hope to hold to it. The Bible, Peter is telling us clearly, exceedingly great and precious promise. That's Jesus. And so let's get an understanding, because these promises are so great. I don't think I can categorize any promise I give you as that. And so as his promises come to understanding, the divine nature is given to us. So those categories of these promises, think about this. There's promises of God to believers. Believers, if you are in Christ, you have promises of God that you can grab hold of. If you are an unbeliever right now, there are promises for you that you may not want to grab hold of. There are prophetic promises of the great coming, second coming of our King, and that of Israel and this world. And then, add to that, there are promises just for the nation of Israel that will come to fruition in the near future. And I want to focus on a couple of these categories. First, the promises to the believers. This is where it gets good, loved ones. This is where we understand our God, because life is hard. And these promises got to be, this is what holds you up. This is the foundation of your faith. That you get to rise up when life is really, really hard. Let's look at Deuteronomy 31:6. God tells us, He will not leave you nor forsake you. You ever feel lonely? You ever feel forsaken? I do. I grab hold of this one. He says, no, that's a lie from the devil. You do not grab hold of that. I will never leave you or forsake you. Let's look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Love this one. If you trust in the Lord God with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will make straight your paths. It says direct, make straight my paths. Because I tend to go all over the place. God, I need you to keep me straight. Thank you for that promise. What about Isaiah 41:10? We don't need to be afraid or dismayed. God will strengthen us and uphold us with His righteous right hand. You understand that righteousness in His right hand? He's got a left hand too. That's not the righteousness of Him. He's got the wrath in His left hand. But thank you, Lord, that I have the promise of Your righteous right hand holding me up. Isaiah 41:10. Let's look at Jeremiah 29:11. God has plans to give you peace and a future. Hope. A lot of us need hope. There's a lot of hopelessness in the world. People running around caught up in immoralities that just do not fulfill. I'm going to put substances in my body. I'm going to do activities that just don't make it. But I have hope in my God, Jesus Christ. What about Romans 8:28? Do I even need to say the scripture? Y'all know Romans 8:28. I know it. Let's say it anyways. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Are you called according to that purpose? Everything that's going on will work for good. That sickness that came upon you, that financial problem, that relational issue in your life, God had to check that off before it came to you. He's under control. He's under control. It's going to work for good. And then we got 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will not give you more than you are able to bear. When you feel you are about to break, I grab hold that He will have that escape for me. And I will look for it with all hope and joy. Those are just some of the good promises. There are hundreds of them, loved ones. We got a couple more in the scriptures I'm going through. Second group of little promises I want are those prophetic promises. See, we have a blessed hope. If I'm just living this life without having an eternal perspective, I'm not going to get what I got to give here. Because that's the hope I give to everybody else. So let's look at that real quick. No scriptures. The Lord's second coming. He's coming back. He's going to take us up. We're going to meet Him in the air if we're alive. Or the dead in Christ will rise. Glorious bodies. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Who's tired of all the cold and the smog? All the brokenness in this world. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. We're going to inhabit that place. I love all the gold and the mansions and all, but Jesus is going to be there. And that's what I'm all about. What about our blessed hope of a life with Him and the promise that are guaranteed for the eternal future? Do you have an eternal perspective today? Sometimes you may get caught on something in the dot, the tree, instead of the forest. Let's get an eternal perspective. Promises that guarantee deep union with Jesus. And knowing Him gives you the power to live that life He has for you. The power is knowing the source. Let's check this part out. Let's jot this down. Knowing Him brings the power to grow. The power to grow. He doesn't want you to get saved, get the little insurance, and put it in your pocket and sit down. I'm going to end up at the gates one day and say, here you go, God, I got the insurance certificate. I hope we're doing some work. He wants to grow. As we look what Peter's saying here in verse 5, he says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We've been speaking about this faith. Faith is the substance, the evidence, hoped for, not seen. Hebrews. It's the reality, the tangibility of what I do and say in Jesus' name. It's my base. It's the foundation. You know, it's kind of like an Olympic running event. They have that little baton, right? They run around that circle, and there's about four of them, and they hand that baton up. These steps here, you don't hand them off to get the next one. They're like steps, and each one is building off the foundation of the next. And so your first one is faith, the scripture says. And it says, add to faith virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. It's what Jesus did perfectly. It's what He asks us to do. It's the Christian life. It's that Christ is in us. Now look up here. I want to take a minute here to explain this understanding of the Christian life. You see, the Christian life is not us doing and doing and doing. It's actually dying and dying and dying. Jesus said that if you surrender your life, I will bring you back up new. And a lot of us go around saying, awesome, I got that going on. Jesus, I've been born again. But then you go try to do it in your own strength. And loved ones, we can't love people like Jesus wants us to love people. What He's asking you to do is empty your life down. Allow Him to come into you, and He will love that person through you. You don't get tired doing that life. You get energized. You get the power of God and the Holy Spirit in you, and Jesus loves that person through you. And that's the joy of serving Him. That's the Christian life. Self-control is next. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We got those nine fruits. We all like to go over those. It's a good reference point. Self-control here. Perseverance. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't get tired. When you do, restore yourself in some form of God's Word and His strength. Don't give up. What about godliness? Add to that godliness. That's piety. That's holiness. That's understanding of set apart. We were told the implements in the tabernacle and the temple were holy. They weren't doing anything to be good. They were set apart for God. Are you set apart for God? Holiness and godliness. We got this brotherly kindness. That's Philadelphia. That's that lovely word, Philadelphia. Brotherly love. In John 13:35, we find out how, Jesus speaking, how will they know that you're my disciples? By your love for each other. I wonder how sometimes we act to each other and the people outside are looking in. You know people are watching us, right? People are watching us and they look at all of us. Now we're going to have disagreements. That's normal. Paul and Peter and all the boys in the Acts. Check out Acts if you want to see problems in the church. But they loved each other. They did it right. They did it in a way that was restorative and godly. John Mark came back to Paul, as we remember. So that's how our love for each other works. And then the greatest of all there, if we look, understanding, in verse 7, kindness, love. Love's the greatest. 1 Corinthians 13, we find that it lists the faith, hope, and love. Which one? Love. Because that's who God is. God, help us to love. And this love is not what originates in others. Please don't be the one waiting for the one to love you so you can love them. Love like God loves you. He grabbed a hold of you because He loved first. That's how we love each other. When it's really hard. Anyone, tax collectors love the ones that are next to them or friendly. What about that hard one? That one giving you a little problem in your life and your family. So that's the building blocks of the virtuous attributes of Christian life. And we need God to help out with us. So that's knowledge of growing, the power of growing. Verse 8 gives us another promise here. If we look at this, for these things are yours. If you grab the hold of these attributes of the Christian life, if they're yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Your life will be robust. You will be on fire, they say. You'll be, what they say, a Jesus freak. I love being a Jesus freak. Anybody on fire for that? That's all right. Let them call you that. Let them get a little bit of fire from you. We want to be excited about our faith. We understand the cancer the world's got, and we have the cure. God, help us to give that medicine out more in such a loving way. So Peter doesn't want us to just give us a little pep talk. He's going into the eternal understandings of what the judgment's going to be all about. So much I can give you a pep talk, it's in one ear, out the other. By the time you hit the right turn out on the highway here, you've forgotten what I said. But if you're meditating on eternal perspectives, you're going to remember a little bit. The Holy Spirit's going to drive that somewhere deep into your soul. That's what we need. So he's all about the eternal possibilities that we have in Jesus. In verse 9 through 11, I jot this down. Knowing him brings power for eternal life. Power for eternal life. Now, we don't get saved through the works. I'm not going there in any way. But there's power as we go with excellence into eternity, with purpose into eternity. We don't just kind of float there. And in verse 9, he goes and starts with, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, there's two severities that Peter's talking about here. First of all, it's that whole salvation issue and how assurance is given to you. You see, assurance is given to you. It's proved by your walk. Faith and works go hand in hand. Saved by faith alone, but your works prove your faith. And we understand this, that that's not decisions of proving, not works of proving, but us wanting to obey. You see, Jesus who works in my heart and did the mud and the mire washing that I so did not deserve, I want to obey him. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. I want to love him. I hope you do too. And he lets us know here that this never stumble. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Man, that's kind of hard to understand. Lord, help me understand this never stumble. Well, it's not perfectly. It's not perfectly like, uh-oh, nobody can see me make a mistake or else I'm going to get zapped. What perfect is in understanding is progressively. It's increasingly. You're getting better. You're not doing what you did last month. Last year is very different than it is this year. If you're carrying that same load over and over, loved one, get into some discipleship. Get into some understanding of someone encouraging you, getting a little strengthening you, challenging you. We don't need to carry. He says, I'm coming to set you free. My burden is light. We carry too much. So not perfectly, but increasingly. And I do have some understandings. I'm not going to decide anybody's salvation here, if you've lost it or if you never had it. But loved ones, I want to challenge you. Are you loving God today? Are you loving God today? And that's the challenge that Peter is giving us. But also, it's not just in our salvation issue, but it's also in our false teaching issue. In the context of this letter, there were a lot of false teachers going on already. And Peter didn't want everyone to fall victim to them. You see, we think that's an issue of today. A lot of false teachers on the TVs, on the radios, in the pulpits. But that's nothing new. And Peter didn't want us to stumble. So false teachers, destructive doctrines, not new. But the apostles were dealing with it. They were already coming to terms. They knew not only then, but also 2,000 years later, we're going to be having the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats. And so as they dealt with them, this is what they were dealing with. This is 2,000 years ago. From the Bible, my paraphrase. They were dealing with people who used the faith for their own gain. They dealt with people who twisted and wrongly interpreted Scripture to satisfy their own conscience. They dealt with the denial of Christ and His deity. They dealt with the departure of people from the Christian community. And they also dealt with an elevation of human philosophical wisdom above biblical truth. That's what they dealt with 2,000 years ago. Now today we have, I wrote this list, today we deal with people who use the faith for their own gain. People who twist and wrongly interpret Scripture to satisfy their conscience. They deal with the denial of Christ and His deity. They deal with the departure of people from the Christian community. And they deal with an elevation of human philosophical wisdom above biblical truth. The same thing. Loved one, there's nothing new under the sun that we deal with here that they did. And so He gave us these truths. You see, that's part of the understanding of the miraculous words of God. They didn't change 2,000 years later. The very thing they were dealing with applied to us today. And we don't have to question the authenticity of God's word. It proves itself. 60 AD to present day. And Peter doesn't want any of us to be taken by the charlatans. He knows that the counterfeits are out there, and He wants you to know the real deal. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as we are living in a time of biblical prophecy that is being fulfilled like never before, the time is getting short. I hear the ticking and the ticking. But the beauty of Jesus' words, John 10:10 is so beautiful. He tells us that we will have life and life more abundantly. But He tells us about our adversary coming at us, running us down like a lion that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some of you are seeing that, but you have power in Jesus Christ. You know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? And as we become more vigilant than ever, I challenge you again today. Know your power source. Allow Him to grow you. And He wants to prosper you even into eternity. And so we need to take one day at a time. And with thanksgiving, let Him lead us in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your words today. I thank You for the joy of understanding the problem we have and the solution You give. The Holy Spirit working here today, may You take this into their hearts. Take it into my heart, Lord. I'm in the audience too. And we give You all the glory and the joy of serving and worshiping You. I thank You for everyone here. Lord, calm their understandings of the future and what's going to happen. We don't know, but calm the congregation here and knowing that You're in full control. Bring peace upon the full shalom upon every person here. And we want to go in the name of Jesus into this world and shine our lights bright. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, everyone, thank you very much for this time. I hope you are getting God's word positively for beyond my lifetime. And you are loved. And we'll talk to you throughout the evening here. God bless you.